Last week we were introduced to two seeds, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You may remember that the previous week we heard that first gospel promise spoken in the context of God cursing the serpent, that one day the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. And last week we saw the birth of Cain, who surely Adam and Eve thought, hopefully, would be that seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. But we found out, in fact, that Cain was of the serpent himself. And that's how the first big section of Genesis closes. Remember how Genesis divides itself up into 10 genealogical histories. And so, you know, you had the introduction with the creation in chapter 1, and then that section that began in chapter 2 with the history, the genealogical history of the heavens and the earth. And that ended in chapter 4. Well, now we open to chapter 5 and we get a new section. That was the heavens and the earth line, and that's the line that traced Adam through the line of Cain. But now we're given another genealogy, also beginning with Adam, only it's going to trace through the line of Seth. And you may remember that the genealogy at the end of chapter 4, we didn't spend a lot of time on it, but it was traced out to 7 generations. You had Cain, Enoch Jr., Irad, Mahujael, Methushael, and Lamech. And so that 7th generation, we went through Revelation together. We've seen how sevens work in the Bible. They're significant. And the 7th generation from Adam through Cain was a wicked, polygamous, boastful. He sang songs of his murderous intent. He took justice to himself. He took vengeance to himself, though God says that belongs to him alone. And so you see where that line led. It led to Lamech. Now, I don't know if it's the case around here, because this area is such a transient population. But in my hometown, there were 2 or 3 families that were, they were widely thought of as bad news. Ruffians and rebels, and nothing good would come from hanging out with them. And in our narrative, which definitely knows of other people, you know, Adam had other sons and daughters. All these people had other sons and daughters. But in the narrative, we've got two families that are mentioned and are traced out. And yet, as we see that section come to a close, really it's only one, because Abel was killed. And so that section ends with the line of Cain. The family line concluded with Lamech. 7 generations, the fullness, so to speak, of Cain's line. He took to himself 2 wives. Remember that action, because it's going to come up again next week in one of the most obscure passages of the Bible. So remember that. He took to himself 2 wives. Lamech took vengeance to himself. Indeed, he sang boastfully of it. He boastfully sings of murder and revenge. And as we turn to Genesis 5 this morning, if you haven't already, let me invite you to find Genesis 5 in your copy of the Scriptures. But as we turn to Genesis 5, we enter a new section. We've looked at what the heavens and the earth produced, and it concluded with Lamech. Now, as we begin this section, we traced another genealogy, and it starts from the same ancestor. Both genealogies start from Adam, but this time it's traced through the line of Seth. So I want you to appreciate the name of that first section. It was the generations of the heavens and the earth. I think it's significant that it's broken up that way. You know, Adam sinned, and he plunged our race into ruin. There's no doubt about that. But what's probably not as often appreciated is that Adam repented. And he passed along the gospel promise that one day the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent underfoot. So Adam was of the earth on the one hand, but in Christ he belongs to heaven, just like you and me. He repented, he believes. And John makes something of this distinction. He says, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. And Paul makes the same point. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. So this first genealogical history we're given traces the line of dust. And it ends in ruin in Lamech. So let's move into the godly line now and see where that genealogy leads. I don't know if you picked up on it last week, but Adam had Seth, and then Seth had Enosh, and in the last verse of chapter 4, we read that people began to call upon the name of the Lord during the days of Enosh. And what that probably means is that corporate worship began, that people began to gather to worship. Cain's family, though, goes their own way. But Adam and Seth, they pass along the gospel to the family. So let's do this. I think it's generally not to skip over passages of Scripture. All Scripture is profitable. And yet, I know this is where you tend to glaze over in your own Bible readings. Oh, no, a genealogy. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what to look for, and then we'll read it, and then we will look at those things that we looked for. So you're going to look for a refrain as we read through this. Try to pick up on the pattern of the genealogy. When X had Y, he fathered Z. When X had lived Y years, he fathered Z. X lived after he fathered Z so and so many years, and then he died, right? Thus, all the days of X were yada yada. And he died. Pick up on that refrain. You're going to hear that refrain. And he died. You might also count the generations from Adam as we go through those names. We know that Lamech was the seventh from Adam through the line of Cain. Who's the seventh from Adam through the line of Seth? You'll find that it's Enoch. And the contrast between Enoch and Lamech is very striking. So let's read it together. Genesis 5, we'll read the whole chapter. We probably should dip into chapter 6, but it's a particularly thorny passage, and so I thought I would leave that to be treated on its own next week. But let's read chapter 5 together. This is the book of the generations of Adam. So that's the difference. The first was the book of the generations of the heavens and the earth. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So what's with all the ages that are given? You know, all of a sudden we're given years here. We're given specific periods of time, and most of them are strikingly long, are they not? What do we do with that? Well, you know, in 1650... In the year 1650, Archbishop James Usher argued that the age of the earth could be precisely calculated using these genealogies. And he nailed it down to 4004 BC. Was he right? I don't know. I can tell you that his years work out. They work out well, so he could be right. But I can also tell you that even within the Bible, you can compare genealogies in the Bible, and you can see that genealogies sometimes skip generations. So I hope you can appreciate the 4004 BC could work, but it doesn't necessarily have to. It's very difficult to prove, right? So I don't really know how old the earth is. To be honest, and this might be very dissatisfying to you, but to be honest, I don't much care. I know that I can believe the Bible. I just need to understand it properly. And I believe that understanding it properly is the providence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm clinging to Jesus. So I'm confident, I'm hopeful that I will be given all the understanding I need. But if you ask me what I think, well, here's the deal. These years that are given, they are very specific, aren't they? They're not round years. They're very specific years, precisely recorded. And they do work out. Nobody lives out into the flood or anything silly like that, right? So unless I'm otherwise persuaded, I have to take these in the straightforward way that they seem to be meant. And so far, brothers and sisters, I have not been persuaded that the earth has to be millions of years old. I know it's loudly insisted upon by institutionalized science, but I'm not convinced. But at the same time, I don't feel the need to explain these years on naturalistic assumptions either. I don't need a vapor canopy. How long you live has everything to do with God's decision. God decides how long you live. Like I said, I'm not all that interested in explaining how the long lives occurred. what strikes me, because I think it's God's point, is that whereas from the seventh from Adam through the line of Cain is Lamech, the seventh from Adam through the line of Seth is Enoch. And again, this contrast is very striking. Compare verse 1 with verse 3. Whose likeness was Adam created in? He was created in God's likeness, right? Whose image was Seth fathered into? Adam's. And no doubt, all who bear the image of that first man are of the dust and shall return to the dust. And that certainly is the dominant refrain of our chapter. And he died, and he died, and he died. Paul reflects on it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So all these people die. In fact, Paul notes that their dying isn't because of their own sins. They are sinners. They do sin. But, I mean, they're born sinners. But death reigns over all of these sinners who didn't sin in the same way that Adam did. Adam came as a representative. He was a type of the one to come. And so we, as the refrain shows, we die. But look what happens in verses 21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And the Hebrew says, then Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. I don't know whether having Methuselah was a significant moment in his life, but in the Hebrew it sounds like he turned to faith with the birth of his son. At any rate, he lives 300 years afterwards walking with the Lord, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So can you appreciate that at the fullness point of the genealogy through the line of Seth, there is no death? Enoch is raptured to heaven after 300 years of walking with God. And again, this isn't every human being that exists that is listed. So why are these here? And why are they listed the way they are? That's the sort of thing that I'm interested in as I read through. And especially guided by the New Testament, I think we're correct in seeing these as two families, two very different families, both stemming from Adam. But as families, they have different goals, different priorities, and they bear very different fruits. And I actually think that's the big takeaway, if there is one, from this genealogical passage. It's that there are two peoples on the earth, the wicked and the righteous. Now, you got to appreciate, we're Reformed believers, and we know there's nothing good in ourselves, and we look in the mirror, and we see our sinful hearts on display all the time, right? The righteous are not righteous in themselves. Adam believed the promise, and it was credited to him as righteousness, just as you have believed the fulfillment, and it's credited to you as righteousness. So this is a line of men that are righteous. I think that's important for us to grasp. Yes, we are born in sin, and yes, left to ourselves, if you just give into your base nature, you will find you're following the way of Cain, the way of the serpent, selfish, insecure, and hopeless, even though you'll probably boast in your cluelessness. But if you resist the world and its way, and you submit your reason, your ethics, your whole way of life to God's wisdom and to God's instruction, walk with God, and death cannot touch you. Yeah, but Clark, you just said, and he died, and he died, and he died. Don't misunderstand. If Christ tarries, we will all die. it's appointed to man once to die and then to face the judgment. But we who rest in Christ do not come into the judgment. We have passed from death to life. And yet we get a glimpse here of our hope, don't we, in Enoch's translation. You know, I feel sure that both families longed for the end of the curse, the line of Cain and the line of Seth. But in the line of Seth, you get a prophecy in verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. And that's where our story is going. And like I said, the first eight verses of the next chapter really kind of belong here, but it's a very obscure passage, and I thought it needed a little of its own treatment. But what do you take away from Genesis 5? Well, there are two ways to live. There are two peoples, the righteous and the wicked. And while there is wickedness in each of us, if we turn to Christ, then we're not wicked. We've been declared righteous, and we are being transformed into that righteousness. So I think one of the things that we ought to note here as we compare these two families is that God typically works in families. And this gospel promise was passed along through the family. Maybe that's why Adam was allowed to live 930 years, so that he could preach to so many generations. I think that's the task that this passage would set before you, is the responsibility of raising up a family to know the Lord and to walk in His ways. And that's not done simply by laying down all the right rules. That's done by living authentically before your children as a sinner who knows how to repent. Have you repented before your children? Have you told them you're sorry that you sinned against them? How will they learn to say, I'm sorry? How will they learn to repent if you're not a chief repenter? That's the message that this passage sets before us, is that God works with families, and He's going to pass along. You're going to pass along to your children something. Will it be truth in word and deed? That's the question. Let me close with this passage for your meditation, and then we'll pray. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Will you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You so much for saving us. We thank You for giving us Your Spirit that we might turn from our sinful ways to You. Give us wisdom and insight into our own lives, Lord. Show us if there be any wicked way in us, that You would reveal it to us and leave us unsettled until we root out every sin that remains. You have made us a righteous people, Lord. Sustain us in that righteousness. Teach us to do what is right and give us the desire and the power to carry it out. Fill us with a sense of our true identity, united to Christ, the righteous one. And let that identity, not the image of the first Adam that we bear, let us model our actions after the heavenly man, into whose image we are being transformed little by little as we behold His glory in Your word. Let us be lights in this dark world, Lord. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.